I've entitled this message, The Heart and Motivations for Sharing Jesus. And if you have a Bible, it's in Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 35 through 38. Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 35 through 38. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." I want to talk to you tonight about the heart and motivations for sharing Jesus. You know, some time ago, I guess about 4 or 5 years ago, I had something in my heart. I wanted to share Jesus. I wanted people to come to Jesus through my life. And God brought into my life this man. He was actually been a pastor for much of a long time. And we began to spend time together. He was like a mentor to me. And he began to pour the life of Jesus into me. He really showed me what God could do in and through my life. And sometime in that relationship, you know, we begin to share Christ. And in the malls, the gyms, the sidewalks, the roads, everywhere that we went, the restaurants, the gyms, everywhere that we went, we were sharing Jesus. And people started to come to Christ. People started to give their lives to Jesus Christ. It was something so supernatural. And for the last probably 4 or 5 years of my life, it's been an almost every day, every week event that people are coming to Jesus. Not because it's me, it's because it's Jesus. It's Jesus in and through us. You know, in this passage of Scripture, we see Jesus. And not only is he performing miracles, not only is he healing the sick, not only is he raising the dead, not only is he healing and opening blind eyes, not only is he doing all these wonderful miracles, but he's also taking along disciples with him. He's taking along men and women with him. He's taking, really, not women, he's with some women, but he's taking along people with him to teach and to that they might catch this love and desire to share the good news of Jesus Christ. See, evangelism is not only taught, but it's caught. Most things in the spiritual life is not only taught, but it's caught. It's caught from another person. It's caught from Jesus Christ. And that's what I'm praying tonight. You know, there was something in Jesus. He wanted the disciples to have this heart and desire to see every man, every woman, every boy and girl brought into a loving, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's what I desire for every one of us tonight. I pray that not all of us, we would catch this heart and desire to share Jesus everywhere that we go. That we would have a desire in our heart to see people brought into a loving, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And I want to show you the heart and motivations that's going to move us from our seats to the streets, from the sanctuary to the sidewalk, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. See, Jesus, he was a man on a mission. And we have been left, you and I, the Church of Jesus Christ, we have been left here for a mission. And that mission is to bring this world to Jesus Christ. It is to be a passionate, it is to be an example, a living expression of Jesus Christ everywhere that we go and everything that we do, that people may come to him with a desire in our heart to see men and women's lives changed, saved, healed, set free, and changed by the power of God. So I've entitled this, The Heart and Motivations for Sharing Jesus. There's 7 motivations, but it's very simple. 7 simple motivations for sharing Jesus. Number one, I want you to look at the people. The people. The people. It said there were multitudes, and the harvest is truly plentiful. See, everywhere Jesus went, he was a man on a mission. Every place that he went, every synagogue that he preached in, every house he visited, every road he walked on, every place he visited, there was someone there. The Holy Spirit had brought someone into his life that needed Jesus. There was someone that needed to be set free. There was someone that needed to be healed. There was someone that needed to be changed eternally by him. There's no better place to be alive than New York City or even many other places across the world. But there's no greater time to be alive to share the good news of Jesus. When you think about New York City, you would think about Jesus was talking about New York City. You know, the harvest is truly plentiful. The multitudes. Friend, there's nearly 8.4 million people in New York City. Nearly 8.4 million people. You know, have you ever asked, oh God, can you bring someone across my path? Can you bring someone across my path to share the good news of Jesus with? Can you bring across my path somebody that I can share with? Somebody that I can share the good news of Jesus Christ with. I remember before I came here, I remember someone saying something like, you know, you might not be able to share Jesus in New York City like you did in Tennessee. You know, people may not be as receptive. But friend, the same Holy Spirit that works in Tennessee is the same Holy Spirit that works in Africa, is the same Holy Spirit that works in Australia, is the same Holy Spirit that works in Europe, is the same Holy Spirit that works here in New York City. I remember when I first got here, I lived in Long Island, and I took the Long Island Railroad in and into the city. And when I was, you know, people don't talk much in New York City, especially on subways, on trains. And it was the first time I was going into the city, and I was sitting across the aisle from this young man, and he had his headphones in. But God put him so strongly on my heart. So, I was talking to the Lord about it. And then I started waving my hand in front of him, and he didn't get it. Then I started waving my hand in front of him some more. Then I eventually got his attention. And I ended up sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with him, about a Jesus who loves him, a Jesus who will forgive him, a Jesus who will set him free. And he ended up praying to receive Christ right there on the train. All praise to Jesus. So we see the people. And number two, I want you to see the places. The places. See, Jesus doesn't stay in one place for very long. He's always moving somewhere else. He moves from city to city, from village to village, from synagogue to synagogue. He's moving from place to place, sharing his life, sharing, setting people free, healing people, setting them free, saving them, completely transforming their lives. So the places, everywhere he goes, there's someone that the Holy Spirit has prepared to hear and to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And think of all the places we go. There's hardly one place in New York City that you can go that there's not someone that needs to hear about Jesus. Someone who has never, there's so many people that have never heard a clear presentation of the good news of Jesus Christ. There's so many. And every place we go, we can share Christ with others. The malls, the gyms, the restaurants, everywhere that we go, we can share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. So the places. The places. The Bible says, go and preach the gospel to all creation. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Go into the cities. Go into the malls. Go into your schools. Go into our restaurants. Go into the streets. Go into the subways. Go into the trains. Go and make disciples. Go and preach the gospel. There's so many places we can share the good news of Jesus Christ. I think about my own life, you know, when my spiritual dad and I really began to share, you know, the different places I would go, there's hardly been anywhere, you know, that I can't think of that we haven't shared the good news of Jesus Christ, the malls, the gyms, the restaurants, everywhere that we go. I remember one time, not too long ago, I broke my nose, and I had to go to the doctor to, get it fixed. It was a little bit crooked, so I had to go to the doctor and get it fixed. But anyways, I went to the doctor, and there was this nurse that God put on my heart, and I began to talk with her. I began to share with her, you know, the good news of Jesus, about a Jesus who loves her, about a Jesus who will forgive her, about a Jesus who has great plans for her life, about a Jesus who will set her free, who will save her right there. And shortly after, there in the doctor's office, she ended up praying to receive Christ. And then as soon as we left, I was getting ready to leave, and there was no one in the waiting room. So I began to share the gospel with the people behind the counter. And then there were four of them. We all gathered around them. We all ended up praying to receive Christ. Friend, that's something only Jesus can do. Only Jesus can do that. Are you excited about Jesus tonight? Amen. Are you excited about Jesus? Amen. Are you excited about sharing the good news of Jesus? Amen. Give a hand clap for Jesus if you're excited for sharing Jesus tonight. So number one, we see the people. Number two, we see the places. Number three, we see the passion. The passion. This is one of the greatest motivations for sharing Jesus Christ, is the passion. The passionate heart of Jesus Christ. His love for us, his love in us, his love to us, his love through us to all people. It's his passion. See, Jesus, he was moved with compassion. I believe when Jesus looked, you know, it says he was moved with compassion in many translations. You know, I believe when Jesus looked out on this crowd of people, there was probably a tear in his eye. He saw so many men, women, boys and girls who were held in captivity, who were held in bondage by the enemy, who were held in bondage by sin, who needed to be healed and saved and set free. He looked out on this crowd of people, And there was probably a tear in his eye. It says he was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion. I mean, what moved Jesus? What moved Jesus to die on a cross? What moved Jesus to suffer all the torment and pain for us? What moved Jesus to have nails driven in his hands and feet? What moved Jesus to heal? What moved Jesus to heal the sick? What moved Jesus to open blind eyes, to raise the dead, to set us free? What moved Jesus to save us? It was his love. It was his passion. It was the passionate love of Jesus to be willing to give up everything that we may gain everything, to give his life that we may gain his life. It was the passion. You know, many times it's good to ask ourselves this question, or these questions, really. You know, do the things that Jesus loves, do I love? Does what hurts Jesus, does it hurt me? I mean, do I truly have a concern in my heart for those around me? Do I truly love that man serving me at the restaurant? Do I truly love that person standing behind the counter? Do I truly love that person that I see working out in the gym? Do I truly love that person sitting beside me in school? Do I love that person that I see on the subway? You know, someone once told me, you know, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And that's so true. You know, people are looking for the love of Jesus. They're starving for the love of Jesus. You know, what's going to set this world free? What is going to save the people in this city? What's going to save America? What's going to save New York City? What's going to save the people in your schools, the people on the streets, the people in the subways? What's going to save these people? It is not an argument. It is the love of Jesus, the tender, compassionate love of Jesus. I remember one time I was actually walking around in a grocery store, and God put this young lady on my heart. She was actually doing the samples at the store. And God put her so strong on my heart. I was actually pretty exhausted. I didn't really feel like talking to anyone. But I was like, you know, Lord, if there's no one there when I walk around, you know, I'll go and talk to her. I'll go and share with her. And there was someone talking, so I actually ended up waiting until he left, you know, and then I was able to approach her. And when I approached her, you know, I began to share with her the same thing I've shared with so many people, you know, the simple good news of Jesus Christ. About a Jesus who loves her. About a Jesus who is not pointing a finger at her, condemning her. About a Jesus who will set her free. As I began to share the gospel with her, the good news of Jesus Christ with her, I shared with her, and we ended up taking hands, you know, and she put her hand in my hand, and she began to pray, you know, Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me, thank you for loving me. And as soon as she said that, I believe tears began to run down her face, because Jesus had touched her. Jesus was changing her. Jesus was setting her free. Jesus was coming into her life. Jesus was saving her. It was the love of Jesus. It was his passion. So number one, we see the people. Number two, we see the places. Number three, we see the passion. But number four, look at the price. The price. It says he saw them as sheep having no shepherd. Sheep having no shepherd. Friend, Jesus knew the reality of a real heaven and a real hell. When he looked at someone, he knew the reality that every person that did not know the true shepherd, Jesus Christ, every person that did not have a living relationship with him was going to spend eternity in a place called hell. He knew the reality of heaven and hell. I mean, do we really know the reality of heaven and hell? You know, friends, if we did know this, When we look at that man or woman, when we look at the person we see at the restaurant, when we look at that person that we cross paths with, when we see that person walking on the sidewalk, when we see that young lady, that lonely young person that we see walking on the street, friend, if we look at people that way, we see them as someone who's going to spend an eternity in either heaven or an eternity in hell. Friend, it should cause us to weep inside. If we got a glimpse of the reality of hell, of how wicked hell really is. It's not just for a few years, it's for eternity. It's worse than any suicidal thought. It's worse than any murder. It's worse than any, the worst thing you could think of. It's worse than that, but it's for eternity. You know, so many times we weep, and there's nothing wrong with weeping over our loved ones that pass away. I've wept for loved ones that pass away, but friend, when's the last time that we truly wept for the loss? That we truly wept for the ones who are not only lost right now, or not only are dead right now, but who are destined for an eternity without a God who loves them, without a God who has given everything to them. I mean, when's the last time that we really wept for the lost? You know, sometimes I'm walking the street and I just look around and I see people and I look into their eyes and you see the grief, you see the pain, you see the hurt in their heart and minds, and you see that, and it causes me to hurt inside. Because Jesus hurts over those people. Jesus hurts over that. When you were lost, when you were suffering, when you were in pain, Jesus was hurting over you. And we should hurt over the people out there on the streets. No matter what they look like on the outside, no matter what they've done in the past, no matter what they're going through right now, our hearts should hurt for them. We should see them as someone, a precious man or woman that is going to spend either eternity in heaven or eternity in hell. I was actually going home. I believe it was either from a Tuesday night prayer meeting or on a Sunday night. And I was taking the subway home. I live in Queens. And God put this young lady on my heart that was across the aisle from me. And I didn't, like I said, you know, I didn't really want to talk to anybody at that moment. I was exhausted. But when I saw her, there was a grief. There was an emptiness in her eyes. There was such pain, such discouragement. She looked so lonely. She was probably about 17 years old, and I began to just start a casual conversation with her and begin to talk to her and share with her. And then shortly after, I began to share with her. I said, you know, has anyone ever shared with you how you can know that you know that you know that if something happened to you, and Lord willing, nothing does happen to you, but if you die today, do you have an assurance in your heart that if you die today that you wake up in heaven? And she said, no. So I began to share the good news with her. And she ended up praying to receive Christ right there on the subway. Friend, God is looking for someone who is willing. Someone who is willing to see the people, to everywhere, every place that you go, to share the good news. To see people with the passionate, loving heart of Jesus. To see the price. There is a real heaven. There is a real hell. So we see the people. We see the places. We see the passion, the love of Jesus. We see the price. There is a real heaven. There is a real hell. But number four, I want you to see the power. The power. I mean, where do we get the power? Where do we get the power? Where do we get the confidence to share the good news? Where do we get the strength, the power, the confidence, the love? Where do we receive the power to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others? Where do we receive this power? Where do we get the love to share the good news of Jesus Christ? We can't do it in our own strength. You know, the more and more we come into an awareness that everything that happens of eternal value through our life is Jesus doing it through us. It has to be Jesus. It has to be Jesus looking through us, Jesus touching through us, Jesus speaking through us. It's Him. I believe Pastor David Wilkerson and Dr. Charles Stanley both have said something similar to something along the lines of, you know, everything that we accomplish of eternal value in this life comes from our relationship with Jesus Christ. And that is so true. It's Christ in us. That's one of the main teachings of the entire New Testament. It is Christ in us. Say that with me. Christ in us. Christ in us. Say Christ in me. Christ in me. It's Christ in us. What's going to change New York City? What's going to change our schools? What's going to bring people to Jesus Christ? It's Christ in us. Christ in us. Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you is the hope of Times Square Church. Christ in you is the hope of New York City. Christ in you is the hope of our families. Christ in you, Christ in us, is the hope of New York City. Christ in us. It's Christ in us. Christ in us is the hope of our family. Christ in us is the hope of our friends. Christ in us is the hope of the people that we see walking these streets. Christ in us. It's Jesus Christ living His life inside of us. Do you realize if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, all of God lives inside of all of you? All the power you need, all the love you need, all the strength you need, all the faith you need, all the power you need, all the love, all the strength, everything that we need, all the joy we need, all the peace we need, it's found in Jesus Christ, and it lives inside of us at this very moment. It's all Jesus. It really is. It's all Jesus. It's all Him. Give a round of applause for Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So we see the power. I believe, probably about a year ago, I was walking the street and I saw this group of breakdancers. They were, they had stopped from their breakdancing, and I walked past them, God put them so strongly on my heart. You know, so I knew I needed to turn around and talk to him. So I went back and I began to share with them. And I got them, you know, gathered around them and began to share the good news of Jesus Christ with them. Well, shortly after I shared with them, we ended up all taking hands. You know, they took a break from their break dancing and they ended up praying to receive Christ. And then just recently, in all praise to Jesus, only he can do that. And then I was actually walking to work, walking to the subway, getting ready to go to work the other morning, actually this past week. And I saw these four young people, and it broke my heart because one of them was walking with a cane. And God, it was like God spoke to me, you know, pray for her and she'll be healed. So I walked up to them. I began to share the good news of Jesus Christ with them. And I believe a couple of them were saved. A couple of them did have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But so I ended up sharing with them anyways. And we ended up praying the prayer of salvation together. They ended up praying to receive Christ. And then I asked this young lady, I said, you know, do you believe that Jesus can heal you? And she said, yeah. I said, do you believe that Jesus wants to heal you? And she said, yeah. So I said, reach out your hand because Jesus is going to heal you right now. So I simply laid my hands on her ankle. I believe she had been either hit by a car or she had some type of issue with her ankle. And I prayed for her. And I took God's power and authority over that sickness. And I commanded, I said, leave her body in Jesus' name. And I said, heal, Lord Jesus. Heal, Jesus. And I knew she was healed. I said, you're healed. She ended up throwing her cane on the sidewalk and we ended up walking to the subway together. Because Jesus Christ is the Savior. Jesus Christ is the healer. He has all power and authority over heaven and earth, over every sickness, over every sin, over every disease, everything. He has all power and all authority. All power and all authority over absolutely everything. We give all praise to Jesus. All praise to Jesus. So number one, we see the people. Number two, we see the places. Number three, we see the passion, the love of Jesus. We see number four, the price. Number five, we see the power. But number six, and what gets us from our seats to the streets and what gets us from the sanctuary to the sidewalk is prayer and preaching. Prayer and preaching. When Jesus had this burden in his heart, when he saw all of these precious people, these men, women, boys, and girls who were completely separated from him, when he saw them as sheep without a shepherd, when he saw them, what did he ask the disciples to do? He told them to pray. He said, pray. Pray the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out laborers into his harvest field. Pray. Pray. See, all true prayer leads to action. All true prayer leads to action. All true prayer. We have entered into an element in this church of prayer like has been experienced very few times throughout history. But friend, like I said, all true prayer leads to true action. See, the gospel, we must always remember that the gospel is good news, but the good news not shared is no good news at all. For we have to share the good news. For we are to be praying and preaching. Our lives are to be praying, preaching, praying, preaching, praying, preaching. We are to share the good news of Jesus Christ. See, when we pray like this, when we pray like this, say, oh God, I know you're going to send me out. Bring someone across my path to share you with. Bring someone into my life that I can share the good news of Jesus Christ with. Set people free through me, heal through me, touch through me, look through me, see through me, walk through me. For when we pray like that, Jesus will do it. He will do it. Praying and preaching. Praying and preaching. Like I said, true prayer leads to true action. True prayer, always remember that. True prayer leads to true action. And the gospel, the good news, not preached is no gospel at all. We have to preach the good news. How will they know unless someone tells them? How will they hear without a preacher? How will they know unless someone tells them? You know, praying like this has literally changed my life. It's changed my life. God who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what God's word says. It's not me speaking. That's Jesus Christ speaking. And he says, if we have a confidence. We have a confidence when we come to God that if we ask anything, a confidence when we approach God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we already have what we've asked for in prayer. Friend, it is God's will to save the lost. It is God's will to heal the sick. It is God's will to save New York City. It is God's will to save America. It is God's will to create a spiritual awakening. in us. That is God's will. When we pray like this, that is something that God has to answer. Do you realize that tonight? That when you pray like this, that's something God has to answer. Hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. That is something. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's something that God has to answer. I'm going to end with this. And this really sums up the whole message. But friend, my life for the last probably four or five years has been, I love Jesus and I love people more right now than I ever have before. And it's been a mission of mine that God has placed in my heart to bring this world, to bring this city, to bring men and women and children to Jesus Christ. Many times throughout the week, I'll say, Jesus, bring someone into my life that I can share with. Bring someone to you through my life today. Bring someone. Just recently, I had to move from the place where I at, and I ended up moving to Queens. And a friend actually, a friend named Michael, he actually helped me move. And that whole day, you know, my prayer was that God would use us to bring people to Jesus. So at the end of the day, after we moved, we were actually going to go to a Mexican restaurant or a Hispanic restaurant to eat. And on our way there, God put this young man on my heart. We actually began to share with him. He was so receptive. He was so hungry for Jesus, and he ended up praying to receive Christ. Then we were walking along the sidewalk, and this middle-aged woman, you could tell something was bothering her, and I really wanted to go get something to eat, but God so strongly put her on my heart. So we began to talk to her, and she had either just lost her son or lost her son about a year ago, and we began to talk and share the gospel with her. She ended up praying to receive Christ. She was in tears. Friend, Jesus was touching her. Then we went to the restaurant. We sat down. We prayed for our meal. And there was these two young ladies that started a conversation with us about fitness, actually. And I always love turning the conversation to Jesus. There's no greater person. There's no greater subject than to talk about than Jesus Christ. So I started sharing the gospel with them. And in that Hispanic restaurant, we began to pray. They prayed to receive Christ in that restaurant right there with us. Give praise to Jesus. It's all right to clap for Jesus. It's all right to clap for Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not us, it's Jesus. It's not us, it's Jesus. Not only that, not only did those precious, precious two women pray to receive Christ, but when we got our receipt, we got a 25% prayer discount. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Friend, God is interested in every detail of our lives. Friend, this is something that is so serious. It's so serious to God. It's time for us to take this serious. Friend, when we begin to pray like this, when we begin to live like this, friend, the revival, the spiritual awakening that will come forth, when we begin to pray like this, when we begin to go out and share Jesus with others, when we leave behind all fear, we leave behind all fear and everything from the enemy, we leave it all behind and simply go about sharing Jesus. Friend, the revival, the spiritual awakening this will bring into our schools, into our families, into our churches, into our streets, into our subways, everywhere that we go. Hallelujah. God is bringing a spiritual awakening, and he's going to do it through you. He's going to do it through me. He's going to do it through us. It is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Do you want to share Jesus? Amen. Do you want to share Jesus? Amen. You don't sound too excited. Do you want to share Jesus? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. Friend, we need a weeping in our heart for the lost. See, you can know how to share the gospel, but if you don't have the heart behind it, you're not going to make a real eternal difference. You need the heart behind it. It's so important to know the why along with the how. It's time to share Jesus. It's time to go into our streets. It's time to go into our schools. It's time to go into our families. It's time to go into the subways. It's time to go into the trains. It's time. Friend, it's time. It's time to share Jesus. It's time. It's time to go into our streets. It's time to share Jesus, to go into our restaurants. It's time to go into the grocery stores. It's time to go into the gyms. It's time to go everywhere that we go and share Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 It's time to share Jesus. Birth through the heart of love. It's time to see people the way He sees them. It's time to love people the way He loves them. It's time to have our hearts broken for the lost, have our hearts broken for the sick, to have a hurt in our heart for the people around us. It's time to share Jesus. It's time to share Him. So if that is the cry of your heart tonight, if you want more people to come to Jesus through your life than ever before, if you want to completely surrender your life to Jesus for His purposes, completely to Jesus and His purposes of winning the lost, of seeing Him represented throughout this earth, if that is your heart's desire, I'm going to ask you to join me at this altar and we're going to pray together to completely surrender your life to Jesus, that He may use you to bring others to Him more than ever before. And I want you to join me because I'm going to be right here at this altar with you because I want to see a spiritual awakening. I want to see a revival. I want to see this church filled with young people in the balcony downstairs. I want to see this church filled with people coming to Jesus Christ. I want to see this city. I want to see people lined up out these doors, lined up down the sidewalk, seeing people saved and healed and set free by the power and love of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Hallelujah. If that is the cry of your heart, if you want people to come to Jesus through your life, please come. Join me at this altar and we're going to pray together. Don't hesitate. It's nothing embarrassing to give your life to Jesus. For people to come to Jesus through your life, I want you to join me at this altar. If you're up in the balcony, we'll wait for you. If that is the cry of your heart, that you want people to come to Jesus through your life, I want you to simply come. Come wherever you are. I ask that you would come, and we're going to pray together. Thank you. I'm going to pray with everyone at the front. But the Holy Spirit spoke to me before I came out here, and there's some people in here with every head bowed and every eye closed. There's some people in here, you've heard this tonight, and there's something stirring in your heart. And if you die, if you walked out of here tonight, if you died tonight, I pray that nothing does happen to you. But if you died tonight, you don't know for sure that you'd wake up in heaven. There are people in here that don't know that. If that is you, if you don't know that you know that you know that you know that if you died tonight, that you wake up in heaven, Jesus has His arms open wide for you right now. If you don't know with all of your heart that if you died right now, that you'd wake up in heaven with no one looking around, I'm going to ask you to slip up your hand. Don't be embarrassed. Just slip up your hand. Slip up your hand. Slip up your hand, wherever you are. Slip up your hand. No one's looking around. Slip up your hand. Slip up your hand. Keep on slipping up your hand. Up in the balcony. Slip up your hand. If you don't know that, slip up your hand. I see you. Thank you so much. For all those that lifted up your hands, I want to pray a short prayer before we pray. This is the most important decision you've ever made, to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. See, He died on a cross for you. He loves you. He died for all of your sins. Your sin separated you from God, but because God loves us, He sent Jesus to die for us in our place, to make us right with God and to give us new life. So for the sake of those who lifted up their hands, I want everyone to pray with me a short prayer of salvation. Lord Jesus, thank You for loving me. Thank You for dying for me. I know I'm a sinner. I know I've done wrong. And my sin separates me from You. But You died in my place for all my sins and all my wrongs. So right now, I trust Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Come into my heart and life. Save me, Lord Jesus. Thank You for saving me, forgiving me, and giving me Your Holy Spirit. You are the Son of God. You are God in flesh. You love me. You died for me. You were buried, and You rose from the dead to give me new life and to defeat death and all the power of the enemy and all the power of sin in my life. You are my Lord and Savior, my master, and my very best friend. Now I know I'm saved. Heaven is my home, and I'm always a child of God, because all of my trust is not in the church, not in a prayer, not in a set of rules, not in any other person, but my trust is in Jesus Christ. I'm a new person right now. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me and setting me free. I love you. Thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name, amen. And for everyone here who wants people to come to Jesus through your life, I want you to pray this with me. I want you to pray this with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for giving your life for me. I want you to use me. Make me usable. You want to use me. You're going to use me to set people free, to share your good news. You're going to see people healed. We're going to see people saved. We're going to see people set free. We're going to see people set apart completely to you. We love you, Jesus. Right now, at this moment, we give all of our life to you. We surrender, Jesus. We want you to live your life through us. We don't want to live in our own strength. We want you, Jesus, to live through us. Give us an awareness of what we have in the person of the Holy Spirit. All of God lives inside of all of me. I have all your love, all your strength, all your faith, all your power lives in me. When I see someone who needs Jesus, I will speak. When I see people who need to be healed, I will speak. I will touch them. They will be healed. When I see people who are hurting and lonely and depressed, I will share with them the love of Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Bring an awakening. Bring a revival to my heart, to this church, to this city, to our schools, to our families, to our friends, to our lives. Set this place on fire, Jesus. Set our hearts on fire. Come, Jesus. Come, Jesus. Save this city. Save our friends. Save our schools. Save our families, Jesus. Save the people here in New York City. Begin an awakening that will start here in Times Square Church, that will start in New York City, and will spread throughout the entire world. We love you, Jesus. You said, anything we ask the Father, in your name, you will do it. It is done right now. We have what we've asked for in prayer. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.